Monday saw me wake up with a little bit of a hangover. After our over 30 game, we stayed and watched the games after us while enjoying several adult beverages. Beer tangent, one of the beer connoisseurs on our team brought a beer called 51K to mix in with the standard Labatt's and Coors Light. Pretty tasty IPA. Anyway, between the physical activity, the sun, and the beer, I was much worse for the wear. After having some breakfast, I did a little reading and came across an article by Rory Smith at ESPN FC. He made the case that while World Cup support may be fading in Europe, it is alive and well in the Americas, with the fans, particularly the Americans, supporting the game in record numbers. This concept has been a reoccurring theme of this tournament, and American support is definitely being noticed by the rest of the world. Martin Rogers echoed this at Yahoo Sports, knowing American support is causing the Stars and Stripes to become the second team of many in and around this tournament. Several people were quoted that the fun and optimistic and loud support by the American Outlaws is drawing people in and making an impact. Wrapping up on yesterday's Netherlands-Mexico match, Josh Levin at Slate laid out all the people that the Mexican team has blamed during six straight exits at the round 16. From the fans to the referees to the coach himself to Arjen Robben, lots of finger-pointing and not much accountability. On to the football. The first game of the day was France-Nigeria, and American referee Mark Geiger took charge. Victor Moses came back into the Super Eagles team, and other than that, not too many changes to a team that finished second in the group. As for France, Koscielny partnered Varane with a three-man midfield of Kabay, Matuidi, and Pogba. The attack was led by Benzema, Giroud, and Valbuena, and Benzema looked to play more in the left-hand channel. Breathless first 10 minutes as both teams were quick and direct as soon as they won the ball. It did make for some scrappy moments, but highly entertaining. After a couple of wayward efforts, Nigeria nearly went a goal up. A great cross was met by Emenike and touched home, but the assistant referee's flag was up. Midway through the half, Pogba nearly scored one of the goals of the tournament as he started to move outside to Valbuena and raced into the penalty area to meet the cross, but his side volley was saved. Towards the end of the half, Leblou continued to ask questions, but their finishing let them down. Didn't see much of a drop-off in energy and intensity as the second half began. A series of crosses from both teams went begging, but the quick build-up play was still on show. Around 10 minutes into the half, there was a flashpoint as Matuidi wrecked Anazi on a challenge. The replay looked bad, and the Nigerian midfielder went off, and the Frenchman was only shown a yellow. The pulse of the game did seem to fade with 20 minutes to go, then Benzema played a 1-2 and saw his initial effort saved by Onyema with Moses clearing out the line. And with 15 minutes to go, Nigeria survived another salvo from the French. A poorly defended corner led to a chance from Benzema, which was cleared off the line again. The clearance fell to Kabay, whose half-volley struck the crossbar. Following that, Benzema's header was tipped over the bar by the Nigerian goalkeeper. The resulting corner was headed by Pogba after Onyema failed to meet the cross with a decisive punch. The Super Eagles faded towards the later stages and couldn't find an equalizer. Instead, they gave up a second as Griezmann put pressure on Yobo and the keeper. Unfortunately for Yobo, the ball knocked off of him for a 2-0 final. Nigeria played well and gave a good account of themselves, and I thought Odemwingie and Emenike had good performances throughout the tournament. As for France, they did just enough. This effort won't get done in the next round, but guest Cedric Corot called this progression to a T on the preview pod before the tournament started. The afternoon game saw Germany play Algeria. For the Germans, Hummels was suffering from the flu, so Boateng was moved to center back and Mustafi came in as right back. Algeria made several changes to the team that drew with Russia to advance. There was a much less intense beginning to this match. Algeria set out as a compact unit and Germany were content to roll the ball around looking for an opening. A Mustafi turnover sent Algeria away and a ball over the top of Slimani on goal. Neuer was out of his area but did enough to stop the threat. After the corner was dealt with, Slimani was in again. A third warning shot was issued as a whipped-in ball found the Algerian forward, but his head finish was chalked off for a correct offside decision. With Boateng struggling in the back and the Germans not slick enough with their build-up play, if this was being scored as a boxing match, the decision would have been going towards the African team. Towards the end of the half, Germany seemed to finally settle down. Even though not all their passes were finding their targets, there was a little more assurance and composure. The best chances came from long range, with Ozil and Kroos testing the keeper. To start the second half, Götze came off for Schürrle, and his impact was immediate, as Germany possessed the ball for the first 2 minutes of the half before the Chelsea man burst in for a chance and then got on to the end of a Neuer punt to almost fashion another chance. Really thought that the Germans would dominate the air and set pieces, but service was poor, and when successful, Algeria stood their ground and defended well. With 20 minutes to go, Mustafi went out injured. Khedira came in, and the Germans shuffled the pack, moving Lahm to right back and Khedira into midfield. With a quarter hour remaining, the Desert Foxes got Germany's attention as they started to create some chances, but Germany responded with Muller creating a chance for Schweinsteiger and then nearly heading the Germans into the lead. They continued to pile on the pressure, but, for as good as Muller has been in this tournament, he had a stinker in front of goal. As John Champion said, what an achievement by Algeria to take Germany this far, but just a minute into the first period of extra time, Schürrle turned in a Muller cross and put the African team in dire straits. The rest of the period was lacking as both teams tired. In the end, Germany survived 2-1. As with France, Germany will need to play better. Özil was poor in this game, and I think he should have been subbed at some point. It will be interesting to see what Yogi Love does with Lahm. Between his move to the back line and some personnel moves, Germany did look a little better. As always, just another plug for my blog and podcast. My blog is soccernomad.wordpress.com. I post about kits, books, soccer memories, and more, so give those a read. My regular podcast can be found at austinlong1974.podomatic.com or on iTunes. Just search Soccer Nomad and give those shows a listen. As always, hit me up on Twitter at austinlong1974 with any comments or questions. Today is a big day for U.S. soccer. After the Argentina-Switzerland game, Klinsmann's team faces off against Belgium. I'll be at Pepino's in East Lansing to watch the game. As I said in the Round of 16 prediction pod, if the Stars and Stripes play like they did against Portugal, they will win. We'll see. Until tomorrow, ta-ta!